The final dump is back. The bye week is over. We are refreshed and raring to go for another game week. It's even an extra long game week with Monday Night Football coming up. We'll preview the Rams game, get to some of the biggest Packers highlights and headlines from the weekend. It is the pre-week 15 edition of the final dump.
News dump.
News dump, yay!
News dump.
I mean, that's kind of a loaded question.
It's a landslide!
It's the final dump, presented by Game On Wisconsin. And welcome to the final dump. Brendan Dwarzynski, Matt Frelick here with you for the next hour or so on all of the Game On Wisconsin social channels, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, checking us out in the podcast form as well. We appreciate you spending some time with us as we get back from a bye week and get ready for Packers versus Rams and Packers versus Baker Mayfield coming up 1 week from our live show. It'll be on Monday, December 19th. Pretty late in the year for the one Packers Monday night game of the season. We will get to all that. We will look back on some of the big headlines from around the NFL, specifically the NFC playoff race coming up here in just a matter of moments. And yes, technically, Packers are still alive for the postseason. It might not look great, but Packers are still alive. So we'll get to the playoff hopes. We'll get to, again, some big headlines. A former Packer had a pretty big game in a pretty notable game from the weekend. It was notable because the Texans totally yacked it away, but Amari Rodgers had a big game. Jordan Love may be looking for greener pastures somewhere. We'll get to all that. We'll look ahead to the Rams game, get you significant to some, a little bit of a very early betting prediction window for you for next week. That's all to come here on the final dump. Matt, how did you enjoy the bye week? Did you enjoy not having to worry about a Packers loss on Sunday?
It was fine. I had some family stuff going on. Just went back home and had an early Christmas. But yeah, you know, watched a couple of the games. Basically slept for most of the second half of the 1 o'clock games or noon games. And then I watched Sunday Night Football. But, you know, ultimately I distracted myself more than the previous one where we had the Thursday night game where we talked about that last week where it was like kind of like a bye week. But ultimately, it was cool. It was fun to relax and watch a bunch of other NFC teams kind of stumble and just kind of a back to the ways of like a just a weird NFL Sunday. It's felt like we've been a few weeks since that where like some upsets and stuff, but teams not holding up their end of the bargain. But it was solid. Just hung out. And I guess what sort of Baker Mayfield we're going to see with the Rams and just kind of thought about it that way.
I'm a big Baker fan. We'll get to all this coming up later on in the show. I've always been a big Baker fan. I know he rubs some people the wrong way. Similar, but also different to the guy who replaced him in Cleveland, rubbing people the wrong way. So I would be encouraged if he was able to take the reins and replace Stafford and be the long-term option in LA. I think that'd be cool. I'm also hoping that was a bit of a mirage, the final drive for the Rams to put them over the hapless and completely hilariously improperly coached Las Vegas Raiders. So we'll get to Baker Mayfield coming up later on. It was kind of nice to just kick back and enjoy football. The team I have to cover for my day job, the Chiefs, they gave people quite a scare this weekend, barely beating the Denver Broncos for being up 27-0 over that god-awful offense. And it was just nice to kick back, watch some red zone, and enjoy stress-free football, not have to worry about anything but a couple of wagers I put down. So that was pretty darn nice this Sunday. And we get to enjoy that next Sunday as well, since it's Monday night for Packers-Rams. We don't have to worry about a Sunday with any stress coming up next week. So you know I'm going to be very excited for that. But we start this week with the playoff chase, the playoff hunt, if you will. The Packers are still alive. They do not have a great chance of making it to the postseason, and losing tiebreakers to teams like the Commanders and to the Giants certainly does not help either. But the Packers' playoff odds did increase a tick this week. They did slightly improve their chances of getting into the postseason this week. Matt, I will just start off right away with the question before we even get into any of the details. Did you come away from this weekend with any more hope that maybe, just maybe, this Green Bay team can make a crazy run through the final four games to get in?
like I said in the beginning, like there was a couple teams that fell short this weekend or just didn't, you know, live up to their expectations. I think the Giants could have made a statement against the Eagles. They got basically just throttled right at the beginning of the game and didn't come back. So a couple teams, like I said, like they could have made it, but ultimately when it relies on the Packers, like I know their chances went up slightly, but at the end of the day, no, it really hasn't changed much. Like honestly, like from weeks ago, I would have expected us to be mathematically eliminated, to be honest. At this point, we just haven't. We've somehow kept our head above water. Late bye week, like I said, some NFC teams, and then like the Bears win helped. But ultimately, no, it didn't really change my expectations. It lets us push down the road, like, hey, when should they start taking players out? Notably, Aaron Rodgers flip for Love, like that whole conversation. It kind of just extends like, hey, we're still in this. It would be weird to be mathematically eliminated like a month before the season gets done. Like as a Packers fan, I feel like that's very strange to go through. So it's nice to still be playing for something, but no, it hasn't changed my opinions at all because they still have a lot of work to do. They didn't do anything this week. Somehow they sat back and it's great when you improve your position, you don't have to do anything. But if I really want to go the opposite way, seeing Baker on Thursday Night Football may have actually made it seem worse because it's like, oh, it seemed like the Rams win would be a super easy win, whether they're rolling out with Wofford or who's the other kid that they were going to maybe have to
Bryce roll. Perkins.
Thank you. And I've been confusing Bryce Perkins with Brock Purdy the last couple of days. And it's like, I've been putting myself in a blender with it. Don't know why, just I have been. Same initials, but that's a super lame reason. But ultimately, yeah, like it's like you could make an argument they've gotten worse because it's like, damn, like if Baker can do that, like it seemed like I said, it seemed like an obvious win with how banged up they are. Some bad coaching at the end of the game, like you mentioned, but ultimately, you play who you play. But no, it really hasn't changed all that much for me. It's pretty much the same. Nice to see the Minnesota Vikings lose. That was kind of cool.
Yeah. I think everybody is kind of on the Vikings are frauds bandwagon now. I mean, I don't think anyone is going to go into the playoffs thinking, oh yeah, they're a legit contender. I mean, anything could happen. They could get hot, but you know, I know the Lions were favored. The Vegas line favored the Lions this week, which was so fishy that I knew, well, I have to bet on the Lions. I have to put money on the Lions. Why would they be favored? Why could they possibly be favored? And hey, it paid off, so I will happily take that. But no, everyone believes the Vikings to be frauds. I want to pull up right now for those watching live on Twitter, Facebook, and YouTube. This is via ESPN.com, but the playoff picture right now for the Packers, well, really for the entire NFC, but specifically as it pertains to the Packers, they currently sit in what would be 10th place thanks to a strength of victory tiebreaker over the Carolina Panthers and also owning a tiebreaker over the Falcons for right now. And Falcons, by the way, you want to talk about some interesting news and notes and headlines from the weekend. Sounds like Desmond Ridder is going to take over when they return from their bye week this week. So rest in peace to all of us believers in Marcus Mariota. Anyway, the Packers would have to jump in the final 4 weeks of the season a Lions team that is one game better and has already beaten the Packers once, a Seahawks team that is 7-6, although they're reeling right now. They also have a game against the Chiefs coming up on their schedule, so that doesn't look all that great. And the Giants, who are 7th right now, who are, again, reeling, but already own the tiebreaker over the Packers. So the Packers are going to need all of these teams to lose at least a couple of times, and the Packers will have to go 4-0 to make their way in at the end of the season. I'm not exactly hopeful that that's going to happen. I take that back. I am hopeful that that's going to happen. It would be sick if it does. And maybe it turns out that this is the one year in which the Packers actually come back from their bye week and get a win, because it hasn't happened since something like 2014, 2015. It's crazy how often the Packers lose coming out of their bye week. The Packers are the reverse Andy Reid Chiefs and Eagles. Andy Reid in his career is something like 21-3 after bye weeks. The Packers lose every damn year. And for most of the Matt LaFleur era to this point, it has been those classic, oh, well, this team looks like they were not even pretending to practice this week and they were just completely unready for this opponent. Maybe because this year has been the complete sickos football season, maybe this is the year that things actually turn around and the Packers actually play well coming out of the bye week. Part of me says, you're an idiot. Well, I know I'm an idiot, but part of me says, you're an idiot fan. Why would you ever possibly believe this is possible? But by the same token, Matt, this offense is playing better. The defense isn't. The defense is hot trash. Although, you know, they only gave up 19 points, it was, to the Bears right before the bye week. Am I stupid? Am I stupid for believing there is a chance? I would say it's like, what? I think the official odds are something like 13% right now. I'd say it's like 15% chance the Packers have make a run to the playoffs. It's like 25% chance they even make a run and give us a fake rally to the postseason. But I'm willing to be the dumb homer who says, hey, it's not over till it's over. And until this team is mathematically eliminated, I'm going to believe there is a chance this could happen. And the Packers do benefit from the fact that the middle class of the NFC is like the middle class in the rest of America, and it is continuing to struggle against the upper class. Oh, add another point. Add another point.
I was going to say, Wyszynski. I was going to say, you're up by a point now. I was going to say that it's appropriate at this point in the episode, 10 and a half minutes in, to remind everyone that we are a bunch of idiots, stooges with a microphone and internet connection, albeit I didn't have a microphone trying to say that. Ironic. But let's remind people that it's like, yeah, there's an opportunity for it to happen. Do I think it's going to – you seem a little bit more optimistic than I do, which I can absolutely appreciate. However, I think it's like, if it was just like, hey, win and you're in, I'm open to that conversation. I really, really am. Especially when you look at what the Rams are doing right now. Miami looked terrible on Sunday Night Football. Vikings looked more fraudy than I actually thought they were. Something about them makes me think they're damn good. When you look at that defense, it's like, holy shit, it's terrible. Then you have the Lions. If you were to win four straight, I'm going to open to that conversation. Maybe we'll have it over a couple of adult beverages. But like, when you need all that help from all the other teams on the peripheral, and you don't have those tiebreakers, some of those important teams, like, that's where I kind of fall off. Like, there's just no, like, you know, you look at like you mentioned, the Commanders, like the Vikings are just going to win the division. Giants, like, potentially you're going to be able to sneak in or keep their head above water to stay in, I should say. I just don't think there's just so much that have to go right. It's all like, cause yeah, they could go off on an absolute tear. Rodgers could have 15 touchdowns the next 4 weeks, 10 touchdowns, something a little bit more realistic at this point in his life. But I just think with all that extra help they need, it's tough for me to think. But hey, like, if they can stay in it until the last two games of the season, like, that's going to be good enough for me at this point. Very low bar for me. But I mean, 15%, 13%, like you mentioned, I would be shocked if they make it in. Crazier things have happened. It's just I don't know if they can get it done with how they've been playing lately. But maybe they'll come out of a bye week for once, like you said, start doing some stuff. Maybe this will be the time that A.J. Dillon starts running the rock more. We saw some glimpses of that against the Bears. Like, this is the time for him to break out, but ultimately that defense, I think, is going to kind of let them down more than anything else. Just with the injuries and, like, some of the top-end talent, Kenny Clark, Adrian Amos, Jair Alexander, not playing up to how they need to be. But ultimately, still, it's going to still be fun to watch. Still be something to look at, but I don't think they're making it at this point.
Let me throw out this question to you, and I'm ripping this directly from our good pal Alex Strauf and Matt Hamilton as well from ESPN Madison. This was their poll question today on the Rutledge and Hamilton show, and I will read it directly to you. And again, all credit to Alex here and Matt. As a Packers fan, would you rather the Packers win out for a chance at the playoffs or lose out for a better draft pick? And I know we've had similar discussions to this over the last couple of weeks that, you know, tanking versus always wanting to win versus thinking of the future versus thinking of now. I think this is an extra pertinent question because now with only 4 weeks left, there is a very obvious path and we know what it is going to take for the Packers to get to the playoffs. So given that scenario, knowing the relatively, if not completely, bleak outlook for the Packers to make the playoffs, where do you stand in that regard, knowing what the schedule looks like the rest of the way for the Packers and knowing the likelihood of actually making it in?
I mean, it's, I have to take them winning, like, because, like, losing is just, like, to root for losing is so shitty. And, like, there's nothing that we've seen from the drafts that would make you be like, oh, if they get in the top eight, we're going to be able to land this prospect from Georgia or Bama or USC. Like, there's not a single player yet. Obviously, it is December that we haven't really busted up my big boards. I know I haven't. So, like, there's no one that I'm really confident the Packers would need, like, to fulfill an opportunity. Like, if it was like, hey, they got to get top two for their new franchise quarterback, and I'm sure there's some people on the spectrum with that conversation that they're having, but, like, end of the day, I don't think there's not a single player. And even if there was a single player that we've pinpointed over the years, Gutekunst is going to make that transaction. It just seems like it's always a guy out of left field that we never expect. for the last basically he's in, been in office and even before his, Ted Thompson. So I don't think there's a single player that I want a lot. I love the reactions because it seems everyone agrees thus far in the chat, which we appreciate people chiming in. But I mean, yeah, if it was between like a one and a two or a top five pick, sure, like maybe. But at this point, just win, make it interesting for me because I don't want to have a full month of not giving a shit about the Packers because that sucks. Yeah, just win. There's, I don't think that it's, it, to be honest, like you have to be a weird type of fan to think you want to like lose out. Like at this point, it just seems it's not even worth it.
No, I agree with you 100%. I'm glad we're still on the same page about it because what's the point? Why would you spend all this emotional energy your entire life to talk about how much you want this team to win, anything to win. And then all of a sudden, well, now I want to lose. I like I've said many times on this program, I am not wired to do that. So no, I'm right there with you. I'd rather go down swinging and end up in, with the 16th pick in the draft or whatever,
sure,
than root for the team to actually suck. And yeah, I mean, that's the thing about the NFL draft too. And you're right. You can throw out a bunch of names. Oh my God. Can you imagine if we got Quentin Johnson from TCU? Yeah. Johnston, excuse me. Yeah. He's a really good player. I love Jordan Addison out of USC. In fact, unintentionally, I'm wearing a USC t-shirt right now. Shout out to Home Field Apparel. But, offensive lineman, Peter Skoronski from Northwestern, Brian Breesy from Clemson, defensive lineman, all these guys. Yeah, that'd be awesome. Packers have plenty of holes. Would love to bring those guys in. By the same token, I'd rather have fun with it and enjoy the ride and get close to the postseason. And in football, too, it's not like the NBA where you can tank and one player might change the entire trajectory of your franchise. The NFL, you've got to make it work through free agency, and you got to get the undrafted guys and the mid and late round picks. They all have to come together and coalesce into one big product. It's not the same as, oh, just tank and we'll be fine. We'll see about that. Maybe at some point, a year from now, 2 years from now, Rodgers will have totally fallen off. Bakhtiari is just going to be unplayable because of all the injuries. Things are going to be falling apart. Okay, it's time to do a reset. But right now, shoot, if you've got a path to the playoff, no matter how remote it is, you might as well give it a shot. I really absolutely do think you should at least try for it.
And the one last thing I want to bring up is we talked about this last week in the show is like, trying to give people the silver lining of what they should look for, players to watch. And like, I think there's still some self-scouting the Packers should do, right? They have to figure out that safety position. They have to figure out their offensive line, what that's going to look like. They're trying to develop someone next to Kenny Clark, albeit Dean Lowry's probably going to be gone. What do you got with Slayton? Is Devontae White going to ever get on the field and be productive? Jerron Reed, you're going to bring him back on another veteran deal? Like, I think there's conversation we had on a ton of positions. For God's sakes, the receiving core. Like, I've just completely glazed over that. Like, Romeo Doubs coming back, you would think he'd play this week versus the Rams with that extra time off. It seemed like he was going to versus the Bears. Like, you get him and Watson out there. Like, you got to be trying as much as you can to see what you have in these young guys because that's what you've done. You draft and develop. And whether that's 16, 5, wherever, Goody's going to move across that board and snag someone, like I mentioned, that's going to kind of take us all back anyway. So there's no point of moving up even further to make us think we're going to land this absolute stud like one of the guys you already mentioned. And for him to, I don't know, draft a lineman, a D end of something that we, yeah.
Which is not going to excite people anyway, no matter how big of a need it is. Like, offensive line, could Packers use more offensive line help, a little plan for the future, specifically at right tackle? Yes, absolutely. People are not going to be happy about it unless it's Jordan Addison or Quentin Johnston. Like, unless it's a receiver or something flashy, no one's going to be excited about it anyway. So let's be realistic. And I shouldn't say nobody. Some people might be pounding the table for a defensive lineman or an offensive tackle or whatever, but I think generally you know what I mean. That brings us, though, as we talk about planning for the future, Matt, beautiful segue here, to the rumors this weekend about Jordan Love potentially requesting a trade. So this came from, well, I originally saw it in this tweet that I'm about to put up from, Peter Bukowski. And it was originally in a piece by Jason Wilde. And Wilde said that he believes Jordan Love will seek a trade this offseason. He wrote about this. I believe he did a radio appearance or a podcast appearance where this came up as well. And said if he's not the starter, Love will seek a trade based on a conversation that Love and Wilde had this past week. And adds in, we could be barreling toward a, quote, it's him or me situation for the Packers. This is fascinating to me, to be honest with you, because I get it. Like, if you're Jordan Love, you you don't want your whole career to be wasted not playing. Like, you've spent your entire life dedicated to this craft. You want to be a starting quarterback in the league. It's become such a popular narrative online, especially where I obviously spend so much of my time, but this narrative that, oh, the backup quarterback, best job in the world. You don't get hit. You just got to chill, go to some meetings, and you make a couple million dollars. Like, doesn't that sound great? That's so detached from how professional athletes work most of the time. Like, folks, Alex Moran was a TV show character. That's not actually how these dudes are wired. I remember seeing an interview with Chase Daniel when he was playing in Chicago. By the way, Chase Daniel, Missouri grad. How'd that basketball game go on Saturday, Chase? Anywho, he was doing an interview where it was him and his wife, and they were essentially talking, this is years ago now, about how, yeah, you know, I know I've been kind of a joke because I made all this money being a backup, but, you know, if my opportunity comes, I'll be ready for it. And his wife, like, pounding on their kitchen counter, goes, no, absolutely not. He's trained his whole life. He wants to be a starter. I want him to be a starter. Like, we want to get to that spot. No one wants to be a backup. So I get Jordan Love wanting to go be free and get a chance to play, whether that ends up being Seattle. I saw that thrown out. I think it might have been Cowherd who said that. So take that with every single grain of salt. But Indianapolis, they might need a young quarterback. Who knows what their future plans are going to be? Wherever it ends up being, I get it. But why now? Like, Aaron, you saw the deal Aaron Rodgers signed last year. The whole world knows how much money he's making. It's one Google search away. I'm sure that has come up at some point between you and the front office, you and the coaching staff, you and Aaron Rodgers himself. Why now does it become, well, it's him or me? Because that contract, Matt, I think at the time and ever since, we've all kind of known the Packers are committing to Aaron Rodgers long term. Otherwise, they're not giving him $50 million a year.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Like, now, I guess, post trade deadline, if you will, like, maybe there's conversation there. I don't know why it would come out now. I don't think it's a crazy thought. I mean, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Like, it's only going to get worse, right? We're going to see this drama cycle. I didn't think we'd see it a couple weeks after talking about it, that there'd be a trade request. But I think where there is smoke, there's fire. But I'm not overly, like, buying into the fact that, like, he's demanding a trade, he's beating his fist. You know, I do understand that any quarterback, any professional athlete wants to start. Like, they don't want to just sit and collect their couple million, like you mentioned, and go about their business, go through all the grind and everything without, you know, basically getting to reap the rewards of their success. We've seen Jordan Love develop, right? He has gotten better. Like, I've been a huge Jordan Love critic. Like, I'm sure he wants to go out there and shut everyone up. So it is a weird timing thing. I mean, I'm going to say it's just like the trade deadline, end of the year, trying to kick the tires, see what other teams could be. I see in the comments here, I don't know how accurate this is, that they have the same agent, Love and Rodgers. If that's true, tough situation for the Packers to be in, as I'm sure we already know that this is the case. But, like, there was a lot of injuries the week before with some quarterbacks as well. That's why Baker Mayfield's getting an opportunity. A couple injuries tonight as we record with Kyler Murray. On Sunday, there were some as well. So it's like the prospect of Jordan Love only becomes a little bit more expensive, I would imagine, for teams if they want to go acquire him. Not sure what the book is on him if you're a team that's been scouting him, because as a Packers fan, we don't even really know at this point. But yeah, timing is very, very strange. It's less than ideal, especially when we're still playing for some opportunities. Where it came from, we'll probably never know. I didn't read Jason Wilde's article. I imagine if someone got a nugget out of there, or more than one person, it would be on our timeline. Didn't see it, where it came from. But yeah, I mean, it makes things a little bit more muddy as we get through the next four games. But it's eventually that rumor was going to happen. I feel like we get it every once in a while. But being that it's like directly from Jordan Love requesting a trade, seems tough to believe for me. But maybe he has. Maybe that is something that him and his agent and Aaron Rodgers' agent have tried to get out into the ether.
And I get that, look, you don't want to sit for a fourth season in particular. Everyone draws the Rodgers comparisons because he sat for so long behind Brett Favre. No one wants to sit that long. Rodgers sat 3 years. If he is planning to be the starter next year, and it sure seems like that is the case, that'd be 4 years that Jordan Love is not starting. I would want to get out of that situation too. Why? Look at college football now with the transfer portal, and guys can go any. You know, you might be a backup for one season, and they say, nah, I'm out of here. Like, that's the era we live in. I get it. And I have no problem with it. You know, most people say, well, it's the era we live in. Like, it's a bad thing. No, go get yours, dude. You only have so long to do this and to make a bunch of money and to play football as a career. So go do it while you can. I understand that. Here's the question, though, the twofold question. If this is actually something that is going to be presented to Packers brass by Jordan Love and his camp, one, what would you get for him? What could you reasonably get in exchange for a quarterback who's going into year four with very little legitimate experience in an NFL game, one start, and a grand total of not even quite two full games? Because he played the Chiefs game, he played a lot of the Detroit game, the second half of the Detroit game in 2021, and he came in late. I don't even know, was it for part of the third quarter too, or just the fourth quarter, whatever it was, when he had to come in for Aaron Rodgers when he got hurt on Sunday Night Football against the Eagles this year, plus garbage time and a few blowouts over the last couple of seasons. What is that worth? I know he was a first round pick, but that's old news now. He's not a first round pick now. It's like a new car. You know, you buy a new car and they say it loses half its value as soon as you drive it off the lot. First round picks are worth a first round pick. Guys who once were first round picks rarely are. So I don't know what you'd get for him in the first place. And the other question, Matt, is do the Packers want to trade him? Like, you've got a suitable backup quarterback now. Even if he's never going to be the starter for this team, you've got a guy who knows the system, knows these receivers, is competent enough to be a decent fill-in backup in a pinch. Would you be inclined to move that guy, especially if you decline the fifth-year option, which they will have to pick up or decline this offseason? I think it's a fascinating proposal, potentially, if it's actually going to happen, from Jordan Love. And I actually think it's a pretty fascinating situation from Green Bay's perspective, too.
So I'm going to follow. I have two pieces here. One, I think, you approach it from the Packers side. It's like, why would you trade him regardless? We just talked about how many injuries there were throughout the last couple days of football. Then you go back to the previous weekend. There was a couple other injuries on that front with the quarterbacks as well. Like, whether or not you think Jordan Love within the organization, whether or not you think Jordan Love is fantastic or he's absolute trash and you're just trying to unload him for a fifth or a sixth round pick, there's still a conversation we had that you have a comparable guy that's been in the offense for a few seasons, has been mentored by Aaron Rodgers. There's still some continuity there, like, of him wanting to develop. Like, you can't be that far out on him. So, I'm going to tell you what I think what do you think the market is for Love right now? I'm going to say a second and a third round pick. Like, is that crazy? Where do you fall when it comes to an asset like Jordan Love? Is that was my second caveat. Like, I think a second and a third rounder, I don't know why, it just pops in my head. Like, that seems like reasonable compensation.
Man, I would love if that was the case. I would seriously, truly love if that was the case. The number that's been, or the round that's been in my mind, has been a fourth. Like, I just don't know
single
what.
Single fourth.
A single, or, you know, or a third and a sixth, something like that. Okay. I don't know. Like, other teams around the league know that the Packers don't have a lot of leverage in this situation. They either trade him to get anything in return, or they have to eat the contract one way or the other. You get the fifth year, you decline the fifth year, and you just let him walk in free agency, probably for not much. You'd get a compensatory pick eventually that'll be third, fourth, fifth rounder, somewhere in there. I don't think the Packers have a whole lot of leverage in this situation. Again, just because we don't know what he is. We don't know what he can be, even. He's got potential, but he's getting older. He's not a super young prospect anymore. He's been in the NFL for three seasons, and maybe this changes if he plays in the next couple of weeks. You know, hypothetical, not a hypothetical I want. Packers go and get their brains beaten in a week from Monday Night Football at the end of week 15. They lose to the Rams. The playoff positioning, playoff picture becomes even more dire, if not completely eliminated by that point. If you play Jordan Love, maybe this changes. Maybe he goes absolutely insane, sicko mode, super sane over the last 3 weeks of the season. And okay, now we've got some discussions to have. I do think it'll be Rodgers next year, but maybe there are going to be some discussions to be had. Maybe that's enough to tempt a team, especially a team that maybe has a trigger happy front office, to trade a third rounder, a third and change, or a second and change, something like, or even just a straight up second rounder. Hell, that'd be a huge win for the Packers at this point, I think, other than just, you know, having to eat a sunk cost. So I think it's so situationally dependent still. I just don't think the Packers have a lot of leverage in this situation. If they did, if we knew a little bit more of what Love is or was, maybe, or could be even, maybe you'd be able to get a few higher picks. But right now, I think the rest of the league is pretty much saying, nah, man, we're content to let you stew in the mess you made and lie in the bed you made. If you want to give him up, you're not going to get much for him.
No, that's fair. I think that's, I mean, that's, I just look at it from, it's like an asset of, it is a project play, not even a pro, like the, to get a talent that is potential starting quarterback in the NFL, I think it's just like so massive. But I think there's an argument to be had that, you know, like we mentioned earlier, Brock Purdy, like these guys that just like come along, like Colt McCoy, like there's guys that just come around that just end up staying in the league that are journeymen that you can have as a backup, and necessarily you don't need to not even mortgage your future, but even give up partial of your draft picks to go and get a guy that, like, hey, if he was the guy, he'd probably be already starting there. I think that's a pretty reasonable take from you. Also, like, as soon as, like, in negotiating, as soon as the Packers start shopping him around, if that is the case, going on behind closed doors, which I'm sure we'll find out if that is the case later down the road, like, then it's like, oh shit, like, they don't think they have something here in negotiation. Like, now the tables have turned. We're gonna lowball you because you know you have an asset that you are pretty upset you traded up for.
We'll get to the Rams game and the implications of that coming up here in just a moment, because we will spend some time looking ahead. It won't just be the hypothetical game on today's show. But I do think, Matt, we should also bring up, because this is one of those, like, of course this happened situations that could only happen in this particular Packers season. Did you by any chance see any of the Cowboys-Texans game on Sunday?
I did. I literally was napping a lot on Sunday. I'm talking about a lot. Somehow, some way, saw the highlight of Amari Rodgers scoring the touchdown, and I'm like, number 19. Like, I know they have a bunch of low-end guys for the Texans. Like, they're as talented, as depleted as they are talent-wise, I just can't seem to understand how bad the Texans are. Ultimately, see Amari Rodgers catch this touchdown, I'm like, holy hell, like, that's, there's no way that's Amari Rodgers. That's a phenomenal catch. And of course, you thought it was a bye week for Packers. It wasn't. It got the Twitter timeline moving a little bit here and there, just to ruffle some feathers. If it was a Packers Sunday where they were playing, it would have been absolutely worse because everyone would have been paying attention, getting their tweets off. So I did see the catch. We got stat line from Iowa Joe here too. 57 yards, 4 catches. That seems like more than he ever had with the Packers.
I'm so glad you bring that up, and I'll pull up a screen grab of a tweet here from Scott Grodzki, TV in Green Bay. He says, Amari Rodgers played 26 games with the Packers after they took him in the third round, and his touchdown catch for the Texans this weekend was not only his first career touchdown, but also set a new career high for yards in a single game. I will tell you this much. In 10 games for the Packers this season, 10, Amari Rodgers had 4 receptions on 8 targets for 50 yards. That was in 10 games played. In just this week's game for the Houston Texans, Amari Rodgers had 4 catches, 57 yards, and a touchdown. Look, I'm not really interested in totally relitigating releasing Amari Rodgers. I mean, he was terrible in Green Bay, but inevitably, of course, the Twitter fingers were getting a workout this weekend. Well, the Packers just never used him right. Bro, he couldn't hold a punt. Like, I don't mean to diminish punt returners. Punt returners are valuable. We know for a fact how valuable they are. That's not generally, like, a position you draft for, right? That's not usually, man, we got to put a bunch of resources. That's, oh, our 6th receiver did that in college for a couple years. Okay, yeah, he'll go return punts. Like, he couldn't do that. He was totally in his head. Aaron Rodgers, I don't even know if you could say threw him under the bus, but really did not exactly glow about him early in the season. We covered that at length when it happened. Aaron Rodgers saying, yeah, well, he's on special teams. Well, what else do you want? Like, you can say good for him. He's clearly in a situation that works for him now. And also equally say it just didn't work out and wasn't going to work out in Green Bay. Those can both be true. You can have both at the same time. It doesn't have to become, I was right about Amari Rodgers. I was right. I knew they should have used him differently. One, and I think Jacob Westendorf brought this up. Shout out to El Jefe. He brought this up on Twitter. Who are you playing him over? In Green Bay, seriously, of all the guys in front of him, as much as you can criticize the receiving core, who are you playing him over? Lazard? Absolutely not. Cobb? No, Cobb, when he's been healthy, has had a really good year. Christian Watson? Of course not. Romeo Doubs, when healthy? Of course not. You're running out of dudes at that point who you could possibly be playing Rodgers over. Sometimes it just doesn't work in some places, but we live in a time period when everyone needs to have an instant reaction and needs to feel like they are being right at all times. Sometimes situations just don't work. Taysom Hill didn't work in Green Bay. You want to bring that up again? That's a favorite Packers Twitter discussion every 6 months or so. We could bring that up again.
No, I hate that one. I like Taysom Hill. I think he's a great story, and I did it for a couple years, but no, I don't need to constantly bring it up. And like, dude, like it's exactly what you said. Like, there was a chance for Amari Rodgers to make it on the field offensively. There was a chance. But first, just like anything, you got to cut your teeth where you need to. Like, if he had to be a special teamer, great. If he had to sit behind Aaron Rodgers for 3 years before he could start, great. Like, the opportunity in front of him was like, hey, if you can do this, you're going to stay in the team longer. He couldn't do that. He couldn't literally just catch the damn ball and fall forward for 5 yards. That was beyond him. And you mentioned all the players that were in front of him. Like, truly, like, if Brandon Cooks and Nico Collins are healthy on Sunday, like, he probably doesn't really see the field. But when your number one and number two receiver, Philip Dorsett, Chris Moore, and then Amari Rodgers that you just signed, like, that's a tough, tough scene for the Texans and Davis Mills. So it's like, he's the fifth receiver on one of the worst teams in the league. Like, great, you're going to get more opportunities. The Packers just had more talent that they were trying to vet through with this young receiving core. So it is what it is. Like, I don't mind seeing him go and produce. I think it's really weird that people would, like, use it as an opportunity to do it. Because, like, anytime there's a Packer that does well, it's like, you're like, damn, I wish you would have kept him. But ultimately, like, hey, at least it looks like we know how to, like, acquire talent or draft talent. I do think that's there's a silver lining with it that there. With it, like, Taysom Hill was kind of different because you thought you had a diamond in the rough, and then, like, he continued to flourish with the Saints, so that one was kind of shitty. But at this point, we've kind of seen what his seasons end up being, 4 or 5 plays, 4 or 5 games maybe at most, where he kind of pops off, but doesn't really tip the scales all that much for the Saints in that offense. So, end of the day, good for Amari Rodgers. Glad to see him get a touchdown, and crazy that he literally had the same stats he had with the Packers this year with an extra touchdown. Like, just sprinkle that little puppy on top.
Yeah, even better. 57 in one game compared to 50 for 10 games. I mean, it happens sometimes, man. Sometimes people clash, or sometimes systems don't work, or sometimes you have a major mental block, which is clearly what was going on with Rodgers on all those punts. Like, at that point, if you fumble that much, you either have completely non-functioning fingers and hands, or you have some sort of mental block getting in the way of your performance. And good for him. I'm not, like, I guess I'm happy for him. Like, I'm not wishing him ill. It's just, it was a very strange thing for certain folks online. And I know that Twitter's not the real world. Okay. I understand that. I get it entirely, but, like, what a weird thing to take a victory lap on. Every single team in the NFL does this, every single one, and no player who fumbles that often in that few number of attempts is worth keeping around. Be it straight. Good for Amari Rodgers. I'm glad he's getting a chance with Davis Mills and Jeff Driskel for that god-awful Houston team. With that, let's look ahead. We've done a lot of looking back. Let's look ahead. Monday Night Football coming up in Week 15. It will be Packers versus Rams. This is not exactly the Super Bowl champions. This is not exactly the greatest show on turf version of the Rams, but it is a team that maybe has a little bit of momentum. They're coming off the win. They signed Baker Mayfield, and 2 days later, they had him come in almost starting. They let John Wolford play, what was it, 3 snaps, 3 handoffs, and then they brought Baker Mayfield in, and he did not play especially well. Had a couple decent throws throughout the first 2.5 quarters he played, 3 quarters he played, but then got super red hot at the end of the game, benefited from a couple of just completely brain-dead penalties from the Raiders. And they end up going down the field, winning the game, had a couple of nice throws on that drive, one to Ben Skowronek, one the go-ahead touchdown to Van Jefferson. What do you make of facing Baker Mayfield this week? I imagine it's going to be Baker Mayfield starting. I can't see a scenario in which Sean McVay says, you know what, back to John Wolford, back to Bryce Perkins. I really don't see that happening after he went out and got Mayfield. There were stories all over Twitter that for years McVay has been a big Mayfield fan, which that's got to feel pretty good if you're Baker Mayfield, that one of the best coaches in the NFL is a big fan of yours. Are you at all worried about this matchup? Is there anything Baker does or could do that would worry you when it comes to matching up with this Packers defense?
I was going to wait until the end of the show when we got to this segment, but you mentioned it like early on, so it's great. Like, I am also a Baker Mayfield fan. I love the kid. Like, I love everything about him. I know he rubs, like you said, he rubs some people the wrong way. Because he's an arrogant and you know, undersized white quarterback who just happens to like piss people off. Like, quarterbacks aren't supposed to be as polarizing as he is. And it's like, I like to see him ball out. I like to see a guy with swagger, and it's going to be tough to kind of root for him this weekend or this on Monday, because like, he is going to make some plays. Like, it's going to happen. Am I worried a little bit? Like, cause they don't have there's no book on him when it comes to like the last time I remember seeing he came off the injury last year, right? Then the Packers played him in that week, like after his sixth week, and he was out with the shoulder, whatever. Like, but that's a completely different offense. This is a Sean McVay offense. They were setting him up pretty solid on Thursday night when you watched the game. Like, I'm a little worried, to be honest. Like, they're playing with house money. They don't really have a ton of weapons, which is pretty tough spot to be in if you are Baker Mayfield. But I do think like there's a path forward with some of those scrappy guys that are doing it. And like, our secondary hasn't played that bad. I don't mind seeing Baker Mayfield make a couple plays against us, but they got to slow him down. I just think there's not much to take from the tape that you saw, because it was super limited plays. He wasn't asked to do a whole hell of a lot. He was very accurate when he did throw the ball, which was great to see for him. But I mean, even like some of the start, like Tyler Higbee hasn't done anything for these guys in a long time in this season. Even when Cooper Kupp was available, Allen Robinson was available. They just don't have a lot of talent right now on the offense. So I just think the playmaking ability, which is always what I fall in love with Baker Mayfield, he can make plays at any time with anyone, it seems like. That's what we fell in love with when he was a Sooner. So at the end of the day, like, am I worried? Slightly, because there's no script on him yet this year in Sean McVay's offense, but like, he is playing with a half a deck when it comes to that offense. But I don't know. Hopefully he doesn't. I mean, I know he just has that like Taylor Heineke, Brett Favre-esque to him, right? Too, where it's just like, you don't know what you're gonna get from him. He's gonna give you everything he's got. The Packers defense hasn't really lived up to any expectations recently. So that's the weak point, and maybe he can exploit that.
Well, and there's the point that I think would worry me the most about Baker is, again, he didn't play for four quarters that great of a game against the Raiders. I mean, you look at the box score simply enough, and I know it's more than just the box score. And considering he started, I think it was 4 of 12 passing. After that, he would have gone, if my math is correct here, 18 of his next 23, which is far more efficient. But for the game, 22 of 35, 230 yards. That's just over 6.5 yards an attempt, one touchdown, no picks, got sacked four times, had a QBR under 60. His passer rating was just a tick over 91. It was fine overall. The end of the game was tremendous. It was fantastic. For most of the game, though, the Rams sucked. Like, they had 3 points for the vast majority of the game, got the one touchdown late, got the ball back, and again, got some assistance from the absolute... pardon the crass language. The Raiders are dog shit, and their coach is a moron. They're terribly coached. They're not disciplined. Their quarterback gets... I don't know. He's both simultaneously the most overrated and most underrated quarterback in the league, probably, because people either will like go to the death to defend Derek Carr, or they will say, no, he's actually the worst quarterback who's ever played professional football. It's very polarizing and very odd, but they got an assist. It worked out in the end. It worked out in the end. And in the end, you know, as much as we can talk about process versus results, when you stink as bad as the Rams have stunk all year long, you will take any sort of positive sign, especially since you don't get your own draft pick. They don't have their draft pick. It's going to the Lions this year. So you have no problem winning these games late in the year. But to the point you made about Heineke, or even a little Favre-like in him, and we all remember the picture of Baker imitating the Brett Favre jorts picture on draft day, the Rams have nothing to lose. Like, again, they don't have a draft pick to even play for. So there's no reason to tank for a first round pick. They've got nothing to lose. And if you're Baker Mayfield, you are now on your third team in the last, 6 months at this point, even less than 6 months at this point. I don't remember when he was eventually sent to Carolina, but he was cast off from Cleveland. Unfairly, I might add, in my personal opinion, but he was cast off from Cleveland. It didn't work out in Carolina. Matt Rhule clearly had no idea what was going on. And now, I mean, this is maybe his last chance to try to say, hey, look, I can be a starting quarterback in this league. He's going to go balls to the wall. He's going to know Van Jefferson's name this week. Maybe that's going to help him complete a few more passes. He's going to know who Ben Skoranek is. Who's wearing 18? Oh, Ben Skoranek, apparently. Sure. That might actually help him. So that's my biggest concern with facing the Rams offense is they've got nothing to lose. They might just go completely buck wild, try to prove both Baker and Sean McVay, hey, this guy might be a future starter for us, depending on what happens with Matt Stafford. And maybe that, you know, it's facing the cornered animal in a fight. You never want to face a cornered animal. You never want to face a crazy person because I've got nothing to lose. That's sort of the position that the Rams and Baker Mayfield are in right now. Now, that being said, their offense has been awful all year, even with Matt Stafford, who has been bad all year before the injuries and including the injuries. And their offensive line is basura. It is so bad, and it has been rotating through so many different dudes. Any amount of consistency the rest of the way, and they still will have a historically inconsistent offensive line. Granted, the Packers' defense, like you said, has also been bad. But if, you know, the Rams are going to say, hey, we can go all in. Baker can go all in. Give it our all. Let's see what happens. The Packers can essentially do the same thing and say, hey, we have a very slim chance of going to the playoffs. We might as well empty the clip here too. So that, I think, is the neutralizing factor against that Rams offense.
100%. Like you, they talked, I mean, the Rams have been on quite a few, you know, primetime games this year. And like early on, it was very evident that Whitworth being gone, they lost their guard to the Carolina Panthers as well in free agency. Like it's been a tough go for just that offense, I think, because of that. And they're lost, you know, essentially two quarterbacks because of, you know, not directly attributed to that offensive line. But at the end of the day, like they're not keeping their passer up. And it's just, that was also evident on Thursday. There was early on, it seemed like the Raiders were coming after him. That changed later on in the game. Maybe because some of the terrible coaching, as you've alluded to many, many times during this podcast, but Baker can make plays though. Like he can get outside the pocket, but I think if the Packers can contain him a little bit and just really try to throw the kitchen sink at him, that would be great. Although we haven't seen that from Joe Barry at all this year. So that would be the way, I think, to exploit it. Just bring some pressure, kind of just bring some exotic towards them. On their side of the defense, like if Aaron Donald plays great, it seems like I haven't seen anything that says he will play. They still have Jalen Ramsey, et cetera, but like Aaron Donald's an absolute game wrecker, as we know. So we'll come to find out as the week progresses, but like that's going to be the main one as far as the injury report for at least the Rams, to see maybe, like you said, if Wolford, they put him in over Baker, which I don't see that happening. That's the big one you're kind of just checking, because that can dictate how this game goes, whether it's positive for the Packers or positively for the Rams. It's kind of going to depend if 99's able to play.
One quick point I want to make about the Packer defense matching up with the Rams, and this comes from David in the YouTube comments, the Game on Wisconsin YouTube comments, and appreciate everyone who's chimed in over the course of the show today. This Packers defense is not good. Like, there are a lot of really good defenses in the NFL. Bad teams with good defenses, good teams with good defenses. This has kind of been the year of defense in the NFL. That's kind of been a difference maker. I mean, look all around the league. The 49ers are playing Brock Purdy out there. They might have to start Josh Johnson. I had that game on mute on Sunday. I didn't realize he came out of the game, Purdy did, because he was hurt. I thought they just benched him because they were blowing
out. I did too, actually. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I had no idea until Monday afternoon. Oh, he had an oblique strain? News to me. They might have to start Josh Johnson on Thursday night. They still will probably win because that defense and defensive coordinator DeMeco Ryans are just so nasty together. Cowboys, obviously good defense. The Eagles are playing really well defensively. You look in the AFC, the Bengals. Joe Burrow is playing like an MVP candidate, but also their defense, specifically their pass defense, has been incredible. So no, the Packers defense is nowhere near any of that. I mean, it's still a bad unit and will be a bad unit no matter when this season ends, all the way through the very end. But you just need to make enough plays. And when you get to this point, and again, you are saying whatever it takes to win, let's go try to win. All you need is enough plays. You don't need to be great. You just need to come up with the plays at the right moment. So maybe that is what you can hang your hat on and the hope that you can cling to here at the very end. As for the Packer offense versus the Rams defense, though, Matt, like you were talking about there, that's the part that concerns me more, because the Rams still have plenty of talent defensively. And as much as Packers fans love to roast Jalen Ramsey, one, because he's still really good, but probably a little bit overrated at this point, probably a little bit more name than production by now, he's still a very good player. They've got talent in their secondary. They do have talent up front, even though it is clearly diminished if Aaron Donald's not out there. The Packers offense has been on the uptick. Slowly but surely, it has started to come into its own a little bit. Having Christian Watson go nuts, obviously, is a big benefit for that, or a major contributor to that. I think that's the proper way to phrase that sentence. That is the matchup, though, that would concern me a little bit more, because that is still a stingy Rams defense with a good veteran defensive coordinator in Raheem Morris. If the Packers can play like they played against Chicago, specifically in the second half against Chicago, really after the Watson touchdown, I think that was late second quarter, if they play like they did after that moment, I think they're going to be fine against the Rams defense. But if they hit a snag like some of those midseason games, it might be difficult, and it might really be an ugly, low-scoring kind of game. And that brings us, speaking of low-scoring, to this week's edition of Significant to Some. It is an extra early betting preview for the upcoming Packers game because it's a Monday night, and we do our show on Monday. So it's an extra day when this line could change and more money could come in one way or the other. You understand what I'm getting at. But at last check, more than a week out for this week's Packers game, the Packers, and I want to make sure I had the numbers right here, are favored by 7.5, at least from one very popular sports book, with the total, the over-under, at 39.5. That is a big, big spread for a total that is that low. So that gives me a little bit of pause, Matt.
Shout out for you for always putting our game or our show notes together. This one, I'm like, I think my boy made a typo. There's no way this can be possible. Like, it's got me in a blender since I saw your email at 2:30 this afternoon. I'm like, how? 7. The Packers are favorite. I mean, okay, get the home. It's usually about 3, 3.5, they say. But then less than 40. It's like, holy hell. Now,
so I think if my math is correct here, roughly the implied score with the line and the total is about Packers 24, Rams 16.
Correct. Like, I think somewhat is recency bias, seeing that last second or the last minute drive or whatever it was from Baker Mayfield. Like, I think that's somewhat because you're like, oh, the Rams are a decent team. Ultimately, they're not. They have a guy that just brought off the street. I still think they cover 7. I really do. Like, I they can't run the football, though, which is like super important to do in Lambeau Field in December. Which would make away from that. But like the way that they've been coming out of a bye week, like you said, like you would think that it always happened, but it just never changes. I always think they're going to come out of a bye week better on the Matt LaFleur era, and it just hasn't seemed to happen for some damn reason. I'm still going to say that the Packers cover, but I'm going to go with the over. Like, that seems crazy because can both these teams put up points right now? I don't know. They're pretty bad. But I'm going to go with the over. Rams cover just barely, 24-20.
24-20, I think that's a pretty good number. I'm going to go, man, I feel like I want to add a few more points to that, but I have a hard time seeing this one go over 40 in the elements. Rams offense isn't good. The Packers offense has played better. I don't necessarily trust it, though. Oh man, I will go. I'll give you a weird score for this one. I will go 21-16. Packers 21, Rams 16. I don't think the Packers defense is that much worse than the Raiders. Now, the Raiders don't have a good defense either. I mean, they've got decent pass rushers, but their defense isn't any good either. And the Rams were only able to muster 17 points against them, and really only 3 for most of the game. That being said, their quarterback had been with the team for 2 days going into last Thursday night. He will obviously have a little more familiarity with his teammates, with the playbook, and with Sean McVay by game time in week 15. I'll say it's low scoring, so I'll take the under, and I will say the Rams cover it, but I do like the Packers to win outright. 21-16. That's just too many points for that low of a score. I don't think this is going to be a blowout. I don't think the Packers are going to cruise to a win by any means. So I'll say it's relatively close, but I'm with you. I do think the Rams cover that 7.5-point spread. We're all refreshed after a bye week, but we are looking forward to the return of Packers football. Obviously, we are not going to be here for the final dump live coming up on Monday next week because the Packers play on Monday Night Football next week. And not to put ourselves down, but I think you would much rather be watching the Green Bay Packers and the Los Angeles Rams than watching myself and Matt. But we, of course, will be on social media reacting to all of it. You can follow Matt on Twitter. You know the place, at @Matt_FRA_. I'm at @BrendanDZW. And, of course, follow Game On Wisconsin all across your social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube. You might even be watching on YouTube right now, in which case we appreciate you quite a great deal. Matt, it was nice to get a little bit of a recharge. And I, again, like I said earlier in the show, I'm willing to be the dumb idiot over the top homer and say there's still a chance. You got to believe there is still a chance. And I will ride that until I get bucked off, probably in painful fashion.
Yeah. If they keep winning, there's still a chance somewhat, but need some help. But let's keep, they got to win. They got to just keep winning. And like, let's just continue to see the talent we have and let's just like keep striving. So go Pack, go, and we'll see what happens. Damn. Baker coming in. This game is just so crazy from where we could have previewed it in the beginning of the year till now. It's just like where the teams have gone, but ultimately they play the game. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, summertime. Could this be an NFC Championship game preview? Yes. No, this could be a top 10 pick preview for the Green Bay Packers, depending on how this game goes. But until next time, for Matt Fralick, I am Brendan Dwarzynski. You've been watching another edition of The Final Dump, as always, brought to you by Game On Wisconsin. We'll talk to you later.
Well, Wayne, I think this is one that Vince Lombardi and George Halas would be proud of.
You could have given me the touchdown. That is hard to overturn, you know what I mean?
I understand.
That's
that.
A good effort, though, wasn't it? Pretty good effort. We'll be right back.